This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports Update.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. The Bills will be shorthanded on Sunday at the linebacker position. Both Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds declared out for Sunday's game at Miami. Fellow linebacker Delshon Phillips, who plays a role on special teams, also expected to be out as he was not practicing today. The good news is Isaiah McKenzie and Jerry Hughes were dressed for practice today. Both of those players were limited in practice on Thursday. After being limited earlier in the week, the news is better for the Dolphins, although far from guaranteed. But wide receiver Devontae Parker was wearing a compression sleeve around his left leg for his hamstring injury, but was reportedly working at full speed at Dolphins practice today. According to head coach Brian Flores, Parker will be a game-time decision. The news not good, however, for Dolphins starting inside linebacker Alandon Roberts. He has been declared out for Sunday's game as he's still in the concussion protocol. Less than a week after rushing 10 times for 60 yards, Browns running back Nick Chubb rolled up 124 and scored 2 touchdowns in the Browns' 35-30 win over the Bengals last night. Kareem Hunt chipped in with 86 yards on just 10 rushes and also had a receiving touchdown. In the loss, Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow had an impressive performance, completing 37 passes to tie Carson Palmer for the second most ever in a Bengals game. The 2020 Stanley Cup Finals are set. The Tampa Bay Lightning finally eliminated the pesky New York Islanders with an Anthony Cirelli overtime goal Thursday night. It's the third straight series the Lightning have won with an overtime game this summer and earns them the right to square off against the Western Conference champion Dallas Stars. Game one is tomorrow night. In NBA playoffs tonight, game one of the Western Conference Finals, the surprising Denver Nuggets tip off against the Los Angeles Lakers. And that is your sports update from One Bills Drive. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you for hour number two of the program, but it is time, as always, on Friday for the lowdown. It's that time where we are joined by former Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander as he gives us his keys to Sunday's game for the Bills. Lorenzo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing real well. Out here in Phoenix, enjoying the warm weather, so doing good. Had a lot of fun last week watching the football games. Woke up Monday morning feeling real good. No bruises, no aches and pains.
Yeah.
So it's been a good week. Just following up, watching film, and seeing how the guys did throughout the week.
Yeah, I saw that you took the game in with your mom. That's something that you don't normally get to do, or probably haven't done in about 12 years. What was that like?
Yeah, it's been a long time outside when she comes out to visit. I mean, even in college and high school as well. I mean, I just haven't done it in a long time. And so it's good since she's in Phoenix that she gets to come over and hang out, because she is a huge football fan. She's a Niners fan at heart, but she's a Bills fan as well. And so we have a good time sitting there watching the game and just kind of hanging out together.
Yeah, that's the thing I thought too. When I retired, you wake up on Monday and you like go out, feel like you go out and tee it up. And you have the freedom to do it too. You just go out, do whatever you want. Everybody asked me how I liked retirement. My stock answer was this: hey, I recommend it.
Right. That's the biggest thing. You just feel good. Not that I don't miss going out there playing with the guys and making plays, but just the other side of it, the Monday mornings that people don't see and that you, as a player, you kind of hide because you're not letting people know or complaining how bad you really feel.
And also this, and you can speak to this as well, I know when at the end of my career, the thing that got me and the most I was most relieved about on Monday mornings in post game was, and even in the run-up, was just the lack of stress. You know, I didn't have a game to get worried about. I didn't have to play well. You know, I didn't have to make sure I was healthy. I didn't have to eat. You know what I mean? There was so many responsibilities, and the responsibility just weighed on you about you got to play well. That was a huge relief for me in my retirement.
Yeah, especially the older you get, the more you have to be even more refined and dialed in. And so it is a big weight off your shoulders. I mean, now I don't have people depending on me that I come out and I'm healthy every week, and people, you know, living and dying on whether or not we win games. It's a huge relief, and you can go in, no stress, and I can just criticize from my couch now and give applauses and also give some constructive criticism just by just watching the film. So it's been fun.
I don't want to increase your stress level when I say this, Lorenzo, but your name came up on the conference call with Coach McDermott this morning in light of the linebacker injuries that this team has sustained in the very early going here. Now, Coach did say it's a little premature to, you know, get Lorenzo on line one and start ringing the bat phone here. But the fact remains, this team is down to three healthy linebackers on their roster. They have two on the practice squad who presumably are going to be called up at the end of the week just to get them through this game. But we're at like DEFCON 2 here in terms of linebacker depth. Yeah. How do you kind of see or envision the Bills replacing Milano and Edmonds in the lineup this week specifically? And will they have to do it with more than two people, knowing all the things that those guys do for this defense?
No, I think they should be fine with Tyrell and A.J. Klein. The way Matt Milano and Tremaine play, they're your traditional linebackers. They may have certain things they like those guys doing versus Tyrell and A.J. just because of the skill set difference. But based on what I saw last week in the film where both those guys had to come to the game, so they got their feet wet, the Bills' defense will definitely be fine. Tyrell has really grown because he'll be the signal caller and guys making adjustments with empty calls and blitzes. And he did a good job, and I think he's really gained the respect of not only Bob Babbage, the linebacker coach, but also the guys around him through training camp and what he was able to do last week. So I definitely think those guys would do well. Obviously, it's not Matt and Tremaine, but those guys will go out there, have their opportunity to showcase, and hopefully this adds to what they're able to do later in the year. You know, you want to have these kind of things come up early, overcome this adversity, especially when you're playing an opponent that you should beat. We're not heavily relying on A.J. and Tyrell to have monster games like a Tremaine and Matt would. And so they get this experience. So if it comes up late in the year, maybe versus like a better opponent, whether it's like the 49ers or the Arizona Cardinals or whoever it may be, they've been primed and ready to go in those instances.
So you think Tyrell Dodson would be up for that? I mean, you saw him. You played with him last year. It was his first year in the league. He was out on IR and all that. But you think he's developed enough that he could be the guy with the green dot on his helmet making those calls? He's got that kind of personality?
Yeah, most definitely, and he's been doing it. He was doing it last week when Tremaine went down. So he has the ability to go out there, and like I said, it's still a learning curve. It's not going to look like Tremaine because Tremaine has, you know, really 2.5 years under his belt. But he can go out there, make the calls, make the checks. Will there be some mistakes? Yes, but he'll go to the sideline, get it corrected, and move forward. And so, you know, I've already kind of reached out to him and just say, hey, be confident, make the calls, get the corrections, and then move forward. But don't allow trying to replace Tremaine or trying to live up to who he is, overwhelm you. Be yourself, ball out, and then, you know, just grow as you go.
Yeah, and I would have to think that it has to be very comforting for him knowing he's got a veteran right at his elbow there in A.J. on the field, where maybe if he's not 100% certain, you know, maybe A.J. can say, hey, man, no, they're doing this, check to this. Like, you've got a guy that is intimately familiar with this defensive scheme. He's backed up all three linebacker positions in this scheme from his time in Carolina. That's got to be a nice safety blanket for Tyrell to have there, just for reassurance more than anything else, right?
Yeah, it definitely helps out. And I think, you know, even if you go back and watch the film from last week when both of those guys were out there was a couple of times where the Jets motioned and they didn't adjust quick enough. And A.J. was like, hey, just stay. We'll play it like this. We can get through the down. And then you'll talk about it on the sideline or if they do it again, then you know how to communicate a little bit faster. So having that veteran presence to keep things calm and so you don't go, you make a mistake and then you just get real out of sync or get worried is going to pay off huge dividends for Tyrell because of A.J.'s experience being out there and just knowing the defense and playing in it for so long.
And furthermore, how much do those reps from last week's game help A.J. and Tyrell as a combination out there going into this week, having those live rep bullets?
It helps out a lot. I mean, you start to understand each other, learn how to communicate. So you at least have a small sample size that you could take into this week of practice to kind of talk things out. Obviously, they probably took the lion's share of reps. And so they already started that process of, you know, what are we seeing? How are we communicating? Obviously, Tyrell will be the bell cow when it comes to making the calls and the checks, but then also allowing AJ to speaking to him when they go to the sideline and talk about what he saw or how they saw this play, all played out during this week of practice.
So what did you think about the Bills showing on week one of the season against the Jets in the first time in 4 years when you weren't on the field with them?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. You know, I think they obviously came out and treated the Jets the way they should be treated based on the talent on the roster. I mean, outside of, you know, a couple of turnovers and a couple of big plays that they gave up on defense, I thought it was a solid showing. So they want to continue to make sure that they shore those things up, not giving up the big play, because when you start playing better teams, that's going to kill you defensively, and you want to obviously be able to play field position. And then also the turnovers. That's another thing that you don't want to have a habit of doing when the competition gets stiffer and you're in a game that's a lot more contended outside of last week. And so those are a couple of things that I look forward to them shoring up as they move along. And then obviously the continuity, the communication, the tackling, all those little things that you just, as you're playing teams that you should beat, that you only want to continue to beat them, but also work on those foundation and fundamental things that's going to allow you to continue to get better. So when you have those top tier teams, you're able to go out there and compete with them and not just feel like, oh, you've made it because you've beaten some teams that you should beat anyway.
Taking it a step further with the linebackers, Lorenzo, Steve and I were talking about this earlier in the previous hour of the show. While this is a coaching staff that from top to bottom is pretty darn solid, the track record of Bob Babich and the way he has developed young players over the course of his coaching career, Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds notwithstanding, how does his process help young players best, like Tyrell Dotson, to be as ready as possible and maximize their abilities on the field?
You know, one thing I've always loved about Bob is that you know where he stands. He's very transparent in what he wants, his expectations, what he thinks of you as a player, you know, whether that's weaknesses or strengths, and his ability to communicate that on a weekly basis and really lay it out for the whole entire group as far as where guys are at. And he's going to coach you based on where you're at, work on those things. He develops drills based on things that maybe the group as a whole are not doing well, and implements them in practice so that so that he can cut it off before it becomes a real issue. And so I've always loved Bob. You know, he's very passionate about his players, love guys on and off the field. And I think once you really start to get to know him and get past some of his quirkiness, and he's a fun guy, you can really see that as a player, and you buy into what he's telling you because you know he really cares about your development, your family, and just your growth as a young man in this league.
So you think back over the course of your career here in Buffalo, and you had to play Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback a bunch. What were some of the things that were specific to Fitz that you guys talked about every single time you played him? What do you got to know when you're playing Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, I think the biggest thing, I mean, obviously he's a gritty football player. He's going to make things happen, especially off time. And so you have to continually cover on the back end and pursue as a defensive line and making sure you get him down. You have to wrap him up. He's like a linebacker, you know, playing quarterback. And so he's always going to compete. But at the same time, he's also going to throw you a couple of balls, as we saw last week, and that you need to make sure that you take advantage of it and catch the ball and turn it over. And that's why they weren't, you know, end up losing that game last week. And so when he gives you that chance to take care of him, pick the ball off, hopefully get a pick six, but you can't allow him to get comfortable and turn into the Fitz magic and get that whole culture and environment going, because he can beat you as well and put 350, three touchdowns on you if you allow him to. But he's going to give these guys a couple of times to catch some interceptions.
Before we get to your number one key in the lowdown, I wanted to just run this by you too. They've got two rookie offensive linemen up there. They've got four new starters. Second straight week, the Bills are playing an offensive line with four new starters in the lineup. While that would seem to present opportunities from a pass rush perspective for the Bills, we know Fitz gets it out real quick and on time and doesn't give guys a lot of opportunities within the timing of the play to get pressure on him. So what is the best course of action that you believe would be best for this defensive line for the Bills? I mean, are we talking, you know, get pressure, get hands up, or really try to get home even though Fitz does usually more often than not get it out quick.
Right. Well, you always want to try to take advantage of your matchups. Obviously, Fitz being a veteran quarterback that he is, he's just aware and smart, and he's not going to take an unnecessary sack. But there are times when he wants to hold it, and that's why I think putting him in some third and longer situations is going to really help you get home, because he has to hold it at that point because he's trying to convert.
Yeah.
And so as a defensive coordinator, you know, I'm dialing up protections that I maybe are blitzes or line stunts that I saw last week that the Patriots maybe hit on, maybe some of my things that I have in my own arsenal that's going to really take advantage of those guys up front, because they haven't worked a lot together. They haven't had a preseason. There's not a lot of continuity. And when you show them something different that they haven't seen, that puts them even further behind the eight ball. And that's why it's so important, you know, to kind of get to my keys to the game is dominate the run game, you know, first and second down. Make these guys play behind the sticks, because we know Fitz in third and shorter distances, he's going to be able to get the ball out, and he also has the ability to run. But if you put him, you know, third and 10, third and 11, you're able to dial up some stunts, maybe some blitzes, and he has to hold on to the ball, and you can take advantage of the youth and the lack of experience and cohesiveness of this Miami's offensive line.
So if that's your number one thing in the run lowdown is to dominate the run game, what's your second lowdown?
Yeah, before I move over to that, I would say when I say dominate the run game offensively as well, I thought the Patriots did an excellent job running the ball versus the Miami offense last week, our defense. And when they were able to stay in that, you know, second and short, they were able to really take advantage of some of the play action game. And so that really goes to both sides. My second key to the game is win the turnover battle. That's something that we have to make sure that we continue to do and not let those little things, just because the Bills won last week, we have to make sure that we have great ball security and really start to develop that mindset. Obviously, that starts with the quarterback, Josh, when he's running the ball, if that's something that they want to continue to do, making sure that he has great ball security and then everybody else around him as well, and making sure the defense creates turnovers as well and more opportunities. Get our hands on some picks. I know they had the strip sack or the cause fumble last week and was able to recover, but we need more of those opportunities, getting our hands on balls and really winning the turnover battle. Because again, as the competition gets better, those are the type of stats that's going to allow you to be competitive and then win those type of games when the competition continues to increase.
Yeah. And the Bills have won, I believe it's the last three in a row against the Dolphins. And the turnover battle, I think, in those three games combined is 7-1 in favor of the Bills. Lowdown number three, Lorenzo.
And this is huge, and we've kind of talked about this already, and with Tremaine and Matt Milano going out, you know, guys that have been pillars in that defense, playmakers, very productive. Having Tyrell and obviously A.J. step in for those guys, sometimes you have a young Mike linebacker making calls the pressure of trying to replace a Tremaine Edmonds, everybody looking towards you, a top five defense can become overwhelming. And so making sure that he's just clear and confident, if he makes a mistake, continue to move over, move on. Because if we want to make sure that we're dominant in the run game, that you win the turnover battle, the operation has to be crisp. There can't be lack of communication. There can't be uncertainty of the close call or the blitz call. It has to be on point. And if, if there's an error, move on, go to the sideline, correct it, come back, be confident, demand respect in the huddle. And if those things go right, the first two will take care of themselves.
I know you're living out in Arizona, and we watched the Cardinals go into San Francisco and knock off the NFC champions from a year ago. That's got to be a big win for Kyler Murray and company. What do you think of Kyler Murray? How's he looking in his second year?
He's looking really good. I mean, they've added DeAndre Hopkins, which only helps him. But his ability to obviously run, not take big hits, extend plays off schedule, much like a Russell Wilson, he's done a great job. And he's going to continue to get better as they continue to get the camaraderie. Their offensive line is better. They did a great job versus that 49ers, stacked defensive line. And just was able to move the ball after they started slow, but after they got their confidence, got going after that block punt, I think Kyler scored on a rushing touchdown. They really started hitting. And that's why you saw DeAndre Hopkins have 14 for 156. So they're going to be a contender in the NFC West, probably one of the toughest divisions, if not the toughest divisions in football. And so it's good to see these guys winning out here, because obviously I play for that organization as well and know some of the people over there.
All right, Lorenzo, thanks for the time and thanks for the lowdown. And stay in shape, guy. Stay in shape. I know week two. I know week two is probably not what you envisioned, but you may be getting a phone call by week six. So just keep that in the back of your mind. All right. Thanks for joining us today here on Friday, as you do every week. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. And tell your mom she can't root for the 49ers in that Monday night game later this season. She's got to root
for
the Bills.
Thanks, Lo. Appreciate you.
All right, we have to take a break, but when we return, it will be one Greg Cosell from NFL Films, as he will break down the X's and O's of this game based on how both the Bills and the Dolphins fared in week one. So we'll be diving into that and dissecting this one up. Coming up next with one Greg Cosell here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on One Bills Live Friday edition, and joining us now, as he does every Friday, from NFL Films and from ESPN's NFL Matchup Show with Sal Palantonio and Matt Bowen. It's the one, the only Greg Cosell. Greg, how you doing this week? How'd you enjoy week one action?
I'll tell you, Chris, you know what the main thing for me is? That there's a week two. That's what I care about right
Amen
now.
Amen to that.
I'm sure all you care about as well, but it was so much fun to not only last weekend to watch live football, but to actually come in and grind away and watch some tape.
Not too many penalties called either. We made the comment, 82 holding penalties week one of 2019, and this year was like 18 holding penalties. Do you think the officials are just saying, listen, let's stay out of the way for a few weeks, let these guys get their legs under them before we start clamping down on them, or was the game really played that cleanly?
Well, that I can't answer, but I can tell you one thing, Steve. I hope that they don't just do this for a few weeks. I hope it continues, because I got to tell you, watching games last week, it was so much fun not to have games seemingly stopped every other play for penalties.
Yeah, there was a free-flowing nature to the play last week, no question about it. All right, we'll start in the obvious place here, Greg. Josh Allen's week one performance against what was clearly a weak Jets secondary, because it looked like pitch and catch there in the early going, but just your thoughts on Josh, who set a personal record for most completions in a game and highest completion percentage at almost 72%.
Yeah, it was an interesting game to watch on tape, because they really put the game in his hands. There were 63 times that he had the ball with dropbacks and design runs. That's an awful lot of times, and they ran a ton of plays, so... You know, Allen's an interesting player to watch. There's still a looseness to his game. There's still a little bit lack of discipline to his game. I think there are some things that still need to be cleaned up with him. Lower body mechanics at times are an issue. You know, as you guys saw, he'll miss a few. I mean, you could argue he missed 3 touchdowns in that game. I don't think you could argue that. He did miss 3 touchdowns. One of them turned out to be a penalty, so it didn't count. But I just found it interesting in a game in which they got up quickly that they continued to just toss the ball around. It really struck me as interesting. Obviously, that was their plan. I'll be very anxious to see what the plan is this week.
Do you remember, or can you compare and contrast it with what Josh Allen did a year ago? Did he look different to you?
He really didn't. And another thing, you know, I'm very critical when I study quarterbacks, and that comes from my background really learning the position from Bill Walsh. So I'm very critical. He'll always make some great throws. He's obviously incredibly athletic. I've been around Josh. He's a big man, but a sleek-looking man. Obviously, the two fumbles have to be cleaned up. One of them cost them points. Maybe both did. But I think that there's so much there to work with. I think the talent level is so high that I just look at him and think, man, if certain things can just be cleaned up, this guy could be absolutely special. I think he needs to get better as well in his pre-snap recognition. I think there's times where there's free rushers that he does not seem to recognize. Now, again, only he can answer that. But I think that, and I study those plays hard because I really try to figure out exactly what the protection call was. But this is something I noticed with him last year when I did a deep dive on him this summer. And I think it stood out on a couple of plays this week as well.
Let's talk about personnel grouping, Greg, because, we get – Steve and I are doing the pregame radio show, and we see that they make Lee Smith, their big blocking tight end, inactive for the game. And I looked at Steve and I said, we're looking at a lot of 10 personnel today. And sure enough, between 10 and 11 personnel, that made up 95% of their 81 plays were in 10 or 11 personnel last week. So what did you think of the way they spread the field?
Yeah, I think they played 22 snaps of 10 personnel, and they started that. That was their first series entirely until Josh fumbled. And then 11 personnel was, I think, 50-some-odd snaps. So you're 100% right. I don't know about you, Chris, but I was really surprised to see how much 10 personnel they played. Normally, when teams do that, they might do it two or three times a game as a changeup. But that was almost a foundational personnel package. And the other crazy thing, I know you mentioned Lee Smith, but Tyler Kroft was still active. They did not play a snap of 12 personnel with two tight ends.
Right. Yeah, when Lee Smith when he was inactive, we're like, all right, no 12 personnel today, because he was a staple of that package last year.
Right. And one of the other things as well, and there's no way of knowing until we see them play more games, is that it could have been specific for the Jets and their secondary.
Yeah, and their weak secondary.
And it seems likely that that was the case.
And that's a great point, Steve. You know, it's funny because everybody asked me this week, you know, everybody wants a definitive judgment about every team. As you know, this is the nature of the business after 1 week. And I keep telling people that, you know, every team, particularly in this sort of pandemic season, they just wanted to win week one, just because, you know, obviously the hope is we play all 16, but no one knows that. So they just wanted to win week one. So I think teams clearly just designed everything they did to win week one. And you're 100% right. We may not see 10 personnel at all this week. You never know.
Right. Looking at what Stephon Diggs did in his Bills debut, 9 targets, 8 receptions, most of the short to intermediate variety. There really were no deep shots in this week one game by the Bills. They went short to intermediate and just nickel and dime the Jets all the way down the field. It looked to me that Josh really only forced one ball to Stephon Diggs, and that was the pass in the end zone when it was into nearly double coverage. Fortunately, it didn't end up in an interception, but just your initial impressions of how Diggs blended into this passing game.
Well, you know, again, I think that it wasn't him personally. I think the approach was a lot of quick game, a lot of play action, bang play action with the ball coming out quick. You know, Diggs is a high-quality receiver. My guess is the passing game will expand as the season progresses. But Diggs can fit into any passing game. He's a really good route runner. He's really effective in the short to intermediate game. He's not a true vertical threat, but he can get vertical because he knows how to run routes. He knows how to set up corners. He knows how to break down the cushion and step on their toes. But this was he was a function of a short, quick passing game. And that was clearly their plan going in.
It seems as though they almost refused to throw deep. I mean, they didn't even take didn't take a single shot down the field. And perhaps it's something they're setting up for a future opponent or whatever. But it seemed as though, and certainly when they got the lead at 21-3 at one point, it looked as though their play selection seemed to change to me. Did you sense that?
Well, I mean, in the second half, they did try to run the ball a bit more. Clearly, as we discussed already, the game was put in Josh's hands, and that was obviously intentional. It was game plan. But they did try to run the ball a little more. I think the feeling was that I'm sure they felt on the sideline and upstairs that the Jets, they're not an explosive offense. They were not all of a sudden, despite the Crowder play, which was fluky, that the Jets were not going to create explosive big plays. So once they did get up 21-3, even though it was 21-10 after Crowder, my sense is they didn't believe that the Jets were really going to continue to score a lot of points. So they did start to run the ball a little more. They didn't have a whole lot of success running the ball. I'm very anxious to see how that continues. Moss got a good number of snaps. He was even a little bit of a factor in the pass game, not just a touchdown, which was a second reaction play, but the screen game. They ran him on an angle route, as I recall. So I'm anxious to see going forward what the division of labor is between Moss and Singletary. Do you guys have any sense of that?
Well, no, not really, but it's clear that they trust Zach Moss, who's got a firm grasp of pass protection. That, according to the offensive staff, they don't have a problem putting him on the field on third down if it comes to that. And we saw a little bit of this that I'm sure you noticed in carving up this game, Greg. Couple of split back looks in 20 personnel.
Yes.
Where they had them both back there together. And we remember Pat DeMarco is no longer on this roster. They don't have a true fullback. They have the undrafted rookie Reggie Gilliam, who's listed as a tight end, more of an H-back type. But, you know, he's not going to be on the field on offense anytime soon. So knowing that the Dolphins gave up over 200 yards on the ground and really had a problem setting the edge last week defensively against the Patriots, what do we think that maybe that split back look could be a part of what they do this week? Or what do you envision kind of for the run game for the Bills against this Dolphins defense?
Well, I think you'll see the quarterback run game. Look, you saw last week Cam Newton. You know, Josh is similar in that regard, a big man. I think one of the things Cam Newton does better than anybody in the league, which, you know, I'm not sure that is necessarily part of what the Bills do, but Cam Newton may be the best quarterback in the league at exaggerating the mesh point on those runs where he could give it to the back or hold the ball. And that really grabs the eyes of defenders and manipulates them. So, but I think you'll continue to see a good dose of the quarterback run game. I would love to see more of Moss and Singletary in the backfield together, particularly with three wide receivers on the field. I think that that puts a lot of pressure on a defense. First of all, defense has to decide, you know, how they want to match up to that. Obviously, if it's zone, it's different. But if they play man, how they choose to match up to that. So I would love to see more of that. I think they only did that, Chris, two or three snaps.
That's correct.
They didn't do it a ton this week. But again, that's something they could build upon as they continue to play.
And as they face the Miami Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, kind of hung tough and got close at 11. They got 11-14 at one point against the Patriots, although the Patriots had a couple of things go against them. Red zone fumble for a touchback, that kind of thing. But Ryan Fitzpatrick seems entrenched as the quarterback. Even though he's minus three on the turnover spot, how long do you think that lasts? What do you and what do they look like with Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, we've seen him for a lot of years. He doesn't seem to have changed.
No, they don't have a lot of weapons right now. I mean, Fitzpatrick is just a guy, you know, you root for. I mean, the guy's 85 years old and he's still playing quarterback in the NFL.
He's been playing since the late 50s.
You know, people lose sight of the fact, I don't know the exact number, but he's probably started 150 games. You know, he's not just a backup quarterback. Right. He's played a lot of football. You know, you guys remember him when he was in Buffalo. He had those good years with Chan Gailey. You know, he's a quality NFL quarterback. Right now, they're really lacking both at the wide receiver position, particularly if Devontae Parker is out. I don't know what his status is. Have you seen any reports
game
on him at this
Game time decision.
Point?
Game time.
Okay, so we don't know. You know, they obviously hope Gesicki, the tight end, can become a big factor. That hasn't quite happened yet, although he clearly has ability. The run game, it looks like it's Myles Gaskin and Jordan Howard, two totally different kinds of backs. I'm sure they would like the run game to be a driving force of their offense. That remains to be seen. The Bills are, and boy, I would love to talk about this Bills defense, because I did a deep dive on the Bills defense this summer since I was home so much, and I obviously watched them this past week against the Jets. And they are, you know, I think there's a perception out there that, gee, Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, they're just really fundamentally sound, and the Bills don't do very much. Well, the Bills do an awful lot. Now, could that change, obviously, with Milano and Edmonds out? Yes, it could. But this Bills defense, to me, is so much fun to watch.
What did you think of the defensive line rotation? Now, granted, they went three and out four of the first five Jets possessions, so it's not like the defensive line had a lot of time on the field. We've seen heavy rotation from Leslie Frazier in the past, you know, rolling up to seven or eight guys through, but it was a wholesale change at the beginning of this game. Four new guys come out for the second series, and then the starting four come back out for the third series. We've seen mixing and matching from Leslie Frazier, but the next set of four with that wholesale change just seemed to be a different page that Leslie Frazier turned to last week. Anything to be taken from that?
Well, if you feel good about that, there's nothing wrong with that in today's NFL, because you're going to go up against a lot of teams that play tempo. No huddle tempo is a big part of the NFL now. There's nothing wrong with having eight or nine guys that you feel good about and then having a whole distinct second four. I've seen other teams do that over the years. I can remember Seattle did that at times through the years. If you feel good about a second group, you know, that's a great thing to do. You know, and there's one player that, you know, showed up early, and I've always loved him, and he was in Seattle, and that's Quentin Jefferson. Yep. And I think he's going to be a really important addition to this defensive front. He played predominantly D-tackle, but I think you can also line him up at D-end on occasion.
Do you think that some of the rotations and player, even player packages, lineups that we've seen around the NFL have something to do with the fact that there were no preseason games and there's a little bit of experimentation by these coaching staffs around the NFL, most particularly here in Buffalo?
Well, experimentation and stamina. I mean, you know, Steve, you can talk all you want about working out in the offseason. That's not playing football. And, you know, and lifting weights and doing all that great stuff is not the same as playing in a game. So I think early in the season, if coaches feel comfortable with putting players out there, they're going to there's going to be a lot of what the Bills did. Because, you know, particularly with the big guys like that, because, you know, you play those guys out there and depends on the team you're playing. But, you know, teams start running screens, start going no huddle tempo. You know, those D linemen get tired.
Talking with Greg Cosell from NFL Films and ESPN's NFL Matchup. Got a few more minutes left with you, Greg. The one thing I wanted to pick your brain on was with respect to the Dolphins' corners, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. Obviously, a ton of money spent in the offseason on those two players. And they both came into the season not truly 100% healthy. Howard's still maybe not all the way back from major offseason knee surgery, and Byron Jones dealing with an Achilles problem. Now, they both played last week, but of the 64 snaps on defense, I think Howard only played 37 snaps, and Jones only played 42. Now, I don't know how fine you cut that tape in reviewing it, but it seemed to me... It seemed to me like they were on a pitch count. Would that be something that's feasible in the approach that they have there?
That I don't know. I mean, I know that the rookie from Auburn, a kid I really like, and we're just going to call him Iggy for now. Perhaps you can help me with that. But I really liked his tape coming out. He was the guy who sort of played when Howard was out. You know, he played on that side. When Jones was out, he played on that side. So, you know, he's a fascinating player. He could get a ton of snaps this week. But, you know, Brian Flores is from the Bill Belichick school, and they play a lot of people on defense, a lot of different personnel packages in the secondary. Right. You know, I always used to say to people that the Patriots defense is so much fun to watch, but it's in some ways it's a pain to watch because every play you got to see who's on the field. That's the way I felt watching the Dolphins defense. You know, every play I kind of felt like, okay, who's in the secondary now? You know, and their issue, they don't have any pass rushers because they're basically playing Ogba and Lawson as edge pass rushers. And you guys know Lawson. Neither one of those guys is an edge pass rusher. In fact, they're probably both better off in a sub front playing inside. So they're really lacking with any pressure.
Yeah. So, and the real question is, if this game, if the Bills walk in knowing what they know about their offense, they found out last week where they put the game on Josh Allen's shoulders.
And they might do that again.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask. Now, the Jet front is pretty good against the run, and it makes sense that you'd kind of throw the football against that front. What about this
Dolphins?
They
couldn't rush the quarterback either. They don't have any pass rushers either.
Right. And but are they as good at stopping the run as the Jets are?
I guess that remains to be seen. You know, they're playing, you know, obviously a lot of new players. It's a different group. You know, I guess we're going to find that out. They have Van Noy there, who's obviously a very good player. You know, Baker is a really solid linebacker. He's a very athletic kid. But they're very multiple with their front looks. They do a lot of different things. You know, that's the Brian Flores from the Bill Belichick school. So, you know, we're going to find out more. I mean, obviously, it was week one. They did not do a bad job against the Patriots in defending the run by any. I mean, obviously, the Cam Newton element added a dimension, but in terms of stopping more base runs, they did a pretty good job.
That's what I was going to ask you. They did give up a big number last week, 200-plus yards of rushing to the Patriots, and you're saying it most of that was because
Newton
Cam.
Had 75. Right. And you know, I think that other than maybe one run, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, certainly not more than two, I think they were all designed runs. So, you know, the quarterback, look, we know that Josh Allen, he had 14 carries this week, and I can't remember exactly, but the large majority of those guys were designed runs. They were not scrambles.
Right. And I'll throw one more number at you, because in the four games that Josh Allen has played against the Dolphins, he has 29 carries for 318 rushing yards. He averages 11 yards a carry, whether it's design run or a scramble run. So he's been ultra productive against them. I cannot expect the Bills to go away from that in any way, shape, or form.
No. And I also thought, actually, Allen had one of his best plays of the year. I think it was the second Dolphins game last year. You'll remember this play, guys. It was a 40-yard touchdown to John Brown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought it was one of his best plays of the year because the Dolphins showed something pre-snap, and then they changed late. So there was some disguise and late movement involved because the sideline throw to Brown would not have been the throw if they had stayed with the original defense. And that throw, you know, that's why people get so excited about Josh Allen. That was a whole shot down the right sideline. And that ball, I mean, that was just a big-time NFL throw.
Greg, we thank you, as always, for the time. What's the matchup that you guys are going to be featuring on the NFL matchup show this week?
Well, there's obviously a bunch. I mean, you have Baltimore and Houston, KC Chargers, Philly, surprisingly, an 0-1 Philly team playing the Rams. And I know I'm missing a bunch. I just did this a while ago.
New England.
I'm getting old, guys.
New England,
you know,
Seattle.
New England,
Seattle.
5 minutes ago.
New England, Seattle.
So, New England, obviously, Seattle.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a full section game.
Yeah.
And Seattle was fascinating last week, just as a very quick aside. They'd been a run first team on first down, and this time they threw it on 17 out of 28 first downs where Wilson dropped back. So, who knows? Maybe it's time, as they're saying out in Seattle, to let Russ cook. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. All right. It's hard to believe that in some circles of this country, Russell Wilson is still vastly underrated. I don't get it, but
I don't get it. I had to pick a league MVP this year. I love doing these things, as you guys probably know, just like I love lists. But I picked Russell Wilson to be the league MVP.
Yeah. Wow. I like that pick. All right, Greg,
thanks
for the time.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
All right, we'll look for Greg Cosell on NFL, the Edge NFL matchup show on ESPN. That'll be on the weekends. It's usually early in the morning on ESPN 2, 6:30 in the morning on Saturday.
Saturday at 8:30 a.m. on ESPN 2,
yep.
Sunday at 4 a.m. on ESPN, and then on ESPN once again at 6:30 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah, 6:30. That's usually when I catch it on a Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm usually up and making the coffee.
There's this little button called DVR that you...
I know, but I'm usually up anyway. I'm kind of restless on a Sunday morning.
It's not. You see, that's wrong for me. I'm the opposite. I can't get to sleep on Saturday night. Then I'm like, oh, I got to get up. It's like, you know,
I fall asleep.
I got to get up so I can get out of
my
house or I'll be late.
I am out as soon as the head hits the pillow. All right. We got to take a break. But our thanks to Greg Cosell for breaking that down, Bills Dolphins. And when we return, we'll have more on the upcoming game on Sunday, including your questions from the OBL fan mailbag. We're ready to answer those next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Steve Tass here with you on a Friday, and the injury report for Friday is officially out. I am trying to pull it up as we speak here. Give me just a moment. Un momento, senor. Hold on a second here. Well, we'll get to it in a second. I do want to remind everybody.
What are you looking for? I'll do it while you talk.
It's the full injury. Oh, here it is. I've got it.
There you go.
Okay, so as we know, Tremaine Edmonds out, Matt Milano out, Delshon Phillips out. Okay. Everybody else was a full participant in practice. So John Brown, good to go. Vernon Butler, good to go. Tyrell Dotson, good to go. Jerry Hughes and Isaiah McKenzie, who were limited in practice yesterday, they are good to go for Sunday's game. So it looks as though the Bills will have their full complement of receivers, their full complement of defensive linemen. They will just be woefully short at the linebacker position going into the weekend. So this leaves the Bills, as we've mentioned earlier, with three healthy linebackers for the game. So presumably, both Andre Smith and Deion Lacy, who are on the practice squad, will be elevated up to the active roster at some point before 4 p.m. on Saturday so that they'll have five healthy linebackers for the game on Sunday.
That gives them a chance.
Yes. We want to remind you, Bills fans, that the Bills have announced the launch of Predict the Bills, a free mobile game presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Fans who download the Bills mobile app presented by M&T Bank will have the opportunity each week to predict the answers to a variety of game day related questions for a chance to win autographed gear and exclusive experiences. One lucky winner will come away with the grand prize, an all-inclusive suite for you and 11 others at a mutually agreed upon Bills home game during the 2021-2022 season. So sometime next season. So get on the Bills mobile app to find out how to play Predict the Bills. It's a fun game. Got to give it a shot.
Yeah. I don't know if
I don't think we're eligible.
Fun to play, easy to lose for me. I can't predict it.
Not your bag, huh?
No, it's not my bag.
We will get back to some of your questions on the fan mailbag here in due course. And I wanted to get to at least one more here before we headed back to break.
I think we've read all of them.
There's a new sheet.
Oh, no.
More questions coming in.
Sweet.
From Daniel, who will have a larger impact in the passing game statistically? Diggs, Brown, Beasley, Davis, McKenzie, Knox, Croft, Singletary, Moss, or Yeldon? Okay, I'll throw in Lee Smith and Gilliam, too. I mean, he just mentioned the whole entire roster there, Daniel. I am inclined to put my money down on the Dolphins' killer, John Brown. Last year, 14 catches, 220 yards, 3 touchdowns. I'm going with that guy.
In the two games, yeah.
You know who could also have a nice mismatch in this game is Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got a chance to be good, particularly with Landon Roberts out of the lineup or a question mark coming into this game. If Roberts is out, Knox is going to be a physical mismatch for whoever else is in there. Not that he isn't already a pretty good matchup for the Bills. It'll be interesting to see if the Bills decide to exploit that. By the other hand, we don't know at any point yet what the Bills think of the Dolphins' defense after having seen Cam Newton and the New England Patriots do what they did against this Dolphin defense. It's kind of hard to get a hand. It would be, for me, I think, hard to get a handle as a Bills coach about how our guys would match up with the Dolphins' defense. Where do you think you can have your way with them? Certainly you mentioned, you know, their two corners, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. They didn't play all the snaps. And if they're not 100% go, or if there is any time when they're not on the field, maybe you have an alert and you say, listen, if those guys aren't on the field, we're going to do something different than we would if they were on the field. All of that stuff is in play, game plan-wise, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the Bills do. I did not see them coming out last week, and I knew we were going to throw the football. I knew the Bills were going to come out and sling it around. But to come out and go four wide off the bat first series, I was pretty surprised by that. And I'm kind of anxious to see what they do this week.
We shall see. I think it's going to be a mix of, but I think they will try more of the run game. I think Josh will still be a part of it. I think we're going to see some of that split back look that we saw sprinkled in sparingly last week.
It's
in
pretty
the red
intriguing.
Zone. It gives the defense more to think about, doesn't it? Both those backs back there.
It's five eligible guys.
Who's getting the ball? Who's going what way?
Yeah.
20 personnel, I think, makes some sense against this defense.
It's five guys who can catch it and two guys who can run it. And that's a decision that Dolphins defense is going to have to make a philosophical decision about right like within 2 seconds. I mean, they're going to like, all right, what are we going to do? Run a pass here.
And with limited speed on the edges, you know, with Ogba and Lawson, who are power rushers, I think you can outflank those guys pretty easy. I do.
Yeah.
I just think you can.
You mean in the run game then?
In the run game, misdirection, McKenzie. I think there's options there to be had where you can get some big gainers on this team. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up next, one Matty Glab will be joined by NFL Network's MJ Acosta, the first Afro-Latina woman to get an anchor job with NFL Network. So congrats to her, but Matty will talk to her next. After the break, here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.